What a beautiful time of worship, and just to enter into the presence of a loving God and a loving Father, and to just to know when we were in the prayer room and we began to hear the words of, "It is well with my soul." You know, in the presence of God, in the presence of a loving Father, our hearts are broken open just to receive Him and to want more of who He is. And a loving God, a loving Father. So this morning I want to, hopefully we'll look at who He is, a loving Father, a God who loves us. And I got to know this Father. I was once a prodigal. And you know, the word prodigal is a word that we affiliate with the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the you know, those who have abused their children or those who have been bad fathers. And but what a word of encouragement this morning, that it's a word that is loved by God. God loves the prodigals. As a matter of fact, He allows us to become prodigal so that we can come to a place of knowing Him. Hopefully we'll learn this morning as I share of who He is and how powerful He is. A God who loves to love His people. He loves to be known by His people. Not just in our church, but on our streets and in our cities and in our country and in the foreign land. And because He said, "Go to the ends of the earth and bring my love to the broken and the hurting." God is so good. We sing about Him. Sometimes we say, "God, You're so good." Let me share before I begin, because the Lord is just putting this on my heart. I had a great privilege. I was so blessed this week. And you know, when God brings you to a place that is not comfortable, you don't want to go there, you will not go on your own, but He takes you there. I was asked about 3 weeks ago if I would come to City Hall of Ottawa and to share how faith makes a difference in the crime scene of our city. I thought I misunderstood. So I met with the man in charge of the program that it's run by the city. It's crime. It's called Crime Prevention. I met with this young man, probably in his late 20s, and good-looking Muslim man. And he said, "Let's go for coffee, Ray. I just want to know you." And I was one of the three speakers. And so as we walked towards the restaurant, I began to... He began to ask me questions, so I began at the beginning. I said, "You know, 42 years ago, Christ revealed Himself to me." And that's the language I'm using to a Muslim who asked me to speak at City Hall. So I said, "Well, either He's going to reject me now," or, you know. And so I end up sharing my old testimony, how I came to Christ, how Christ in His passion, that the passion He put in my heart, took me out of a very prosperous business and took me eventually to the streets of Ottawa. And the more I told my story, the more He said, "Keep on, tell me more. And then at the end He said, "This is what I want you to share at City Hall." And He said, "There'll probably be 200 people there from all walk of life. Some people that are working at City Hall and others are in different ministries." And He said, "You know, for years we have looked at crime prevention and we've tried all kinds of different things, but it doesn't work so well." And He said, "We taught this year, they do about 5 forums like this a year. And we taught with this forum that we would look how faith makes a difference when it comes to crime in our city." I felt so humble and so privileged. And so here I am. There's a Christian brother that I know. I've worked with him. We've worked together for probably 15 years. And he does work in prison. And on my left is an imam, a Muslim man. And so the Christian spoke first, my friend, and the Muslim spoke second, and I'm in the sandwich in between the two. And so they were talking about statistics, and they were talking about programs, and they were talking about all kinds of things that are good. I was very impressed with my Muslim friend. He's become my friend now. We're going to continue meeting. But he is so passionate for the young people in his congregation, in his faith. Very passionate, and he talked, and he travels the world to speak to Muslims. And I was so impressed with his heart and his passion. He is a guy without the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, but God is using him, and who knows where this will lead. And so here I am between those two, and the Lord had put on my heart to preach a simple message of the gospel. How Jesus lived. The way Jesus lived was simple. It's not complicated. He talks about the birds, talks about the trees, all these things, and it was always to glorify his Father. So that's where I went. I talk about God who loves sinners, who picked me up 42 years ago, and I began to tell my story at City Hall. As I began to speak, my Muslim friend sitting beside me took his pen and he began to write. And he wrote all the way through. Not only I noticed it, but people in the crowd noticed. Did you notice the guy beside me? He's taking notes all the way through. I don't know what it means, but all I know that God loves people. Amen. God loves people. Doesn't matter who we are. You know, God loves people. And so at the end, my Muslim friend now gave me his book. He writes books. And so he wants us to meet. And at the end, when it was all over, there's a Muslim lady who came to me and says, "Ray, I want to meet with you. I knew you were coming and I want to meet with you. You know, if God doesn't do these things, we can glorify in ourselves. But we know that only God can put this together. This Muslim lady wants to open up house like Jericho to help her people." And so she heard the gospel. I'm so excited that God is opening up a door. There's another lady who came and she said, "Would you pray with me?" This is City Hall. This is not a conference, you know, in a big church, or this is City Hall. I mean, it was so incredible. The email that I've been getting are just so powerful. But you see, this is where God lives. Unless we learn to take him to the streets where Jesus lived and worked and glorified his Father. I was with my daughter last night, and my daughter is a nurse, and she works not the hospital, but she works in a community center, and she does a lot of work with Muslim ladies, the ones who come from Africa or from all over the world, but mainly from Africa, and usually they're Muslim. And so she works with them when they're pregnant. She goes through the pregnancy and she teaches them how to breastfeed and all this. And so, but my daughter is passionate about building relationship with those women and to show the love of Christ. She was telling me last night, just as I was leaving, she said, "Dad, I got to tell you what happened to me." And she said, this Muslim lady, I went up to her and I just asked her a simple question. How are you? How are you today? And she said, "Well, you know, it's Ramadan and it's very, very difficult. It's a difficult time, you know." Well, my daughter's use that opportunity to begin to encourage her and say, you know, just use this time to draw close to God and let him talk to you. And the woman was so excited. She said, "This is what I needed to hear." You see, God is able to take that and do the rest, because he's the only one that can change the hearts of people, you know. I'm gonna look at the parable of the lost son. In some Bible it says the prodigal son, but I'm not gonna read it all. But I want to pick some sections and then open it up. So, chapter 15, starting at verse 11. I'm not keeping. Oh, there's the watch. You tell me when to stop. So, Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the youngest son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So I'm going to continue at verse 20. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And then we read about the scenario in the house with the other son. But right at the end in verse 32, the father said, "But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found." I love this story. You know, every time I read this story, I remember I was once a prodigal. And I remember when God revealed how much he loved me. You know, the story is not just about two sons, but the story is about a father who never gives up on his children. One prodigal filled with greed, with pride, and a lack of respect, aggressive toward his father, and he demanded. The Bible says he didn't ask, he demanded. We changed the word today, we call this abuse. When you demand forcefully what belongs to me, give it to me now. To his father. His father didn't hold him anything. Demanded his share of the father's estate. And the father, not surprising, the father gives it to him. That takes me for just a little bit of a spin, a holy spin. The father gives it to him? I think I read at some point that we need to be careful what we ask God for, because he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you, whether it's good or bad. But he will allow this to teach us who he is. So it's a good place. It's a good place to become the prodigal. I remember years ago when my youngest son was much younger than he is today. And when he got involved in drugs, and I came home one night and my son had moved out of the house. And, you know, I know what it is for a father to a son that you love, and then all of a sudden you don't know where he is, 16 years old. And then I took 2 weeks for me to find him, and I found him, and he was running a bar, 16 years old. He was running a bar where there was prostitution and drugs, and God took me to a place of praying and trusting that someday he will bring him back. We got pretty deep into the drug scene, and as a matter of fact, I was visiting a friend about 2 weeks ago, and I'm sitting in a house with this lady is related to someone at the coffee house, and I hear the rolling thunder, and I'm wondering what's going on, and I went to the door and I saw 50 motorcycles going by the house on just a little side street, and they're with the Hells Angels. And so they have a clubhouse just down the street from where my friend lives. And so I was telling the story to my son a week later, and my son said, "Oh, I know where the house is. I used to go there." You know, but God, the God our Father who answers prayers, took him out of that scene. Yeah. You know, he's not where I would like to see him today, but he's on his way. I know he's on his way. You know, because God is a loving God. And so be careful what you pray for, because the son asked for a share of the estate and it landed him in the field with pigs. And he said, the Bible says that he longed. When you're hungry, it's amazing what you will long to eat. You know, it's so amazing. But you see, it was in that field, it was in that place, a place of brokenness, a field of brokenness and pain and sorrow, that the prodigal, for the first time in his life, he understood the love of his father. I don't know if you've been there. If you've been there, you'll never forget. I never forgot the night on my knees just north of Toronto in Richmond Hill, 2 o'clock in the morning beside my bed. I didn't even know how to pray. I don't know what I said. I have no clue. But I came aware of the love of God for me. Without judgment, without condemnation. It was pure, sweet love. The amazing grace that we sing about. The amazing grace of God that comes in our brokenness. And I sing Amazing Grace. And we've been singing it at Jericho for 27, 28 years. Every time we close. And it always has fresh meaning when you think that those words came from a broken man who came to a place. He had just coming to know the love of a father, a loving and caring father. In verse 17-19, the son got up and he went. He was drawn by the love of his father. He remembered. I love this word in the Bible. Sometimes, you know, we read the Bible and we kind of read it fast, and then we go on to, because we're busy and we don't really have time to allow God, our Father, to speak. The Bible says that he remembered. That's a good place to live. Never forget. We remember. I never forget. I never forgot 42 years ago in the basement of a house. That had no meaning for nobody else. Meeting God in the basement of a house. Do you know the floor? Get this. I was so religious. The floor was too cold, so I knelt on top of my bed. It was in the winter. It was cold. But you see, God took me in. And he wraps his arm. The same way as the story. God wraps his arm around me. And he loved me. Open up your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, sorry, chapter 1. Just one, going to read from verse 3 to 5. Listen to these words. This is so powerful. Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul had been there. Broken. Hurting. Putting on a front. Strong leader. But God embraced him with his love. He said, "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father," listen to these words, "the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trouble." Not some of our trouble. In all of our trouble. So often we forget to go to him in the midst of our trouble. they're too big, or they're too small, or they're too insignificant. But He wants us to go in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. You see the purpose of God for His children? We receive from Him, and then He wants us to give it to others. So that's what we're going to look at for a few minutes. Don't know any greater scripture this morning on this beautiful day of Father's Day for us who desires to be better father and to make a difference in our world, in a broken world, when we see a hurting world, what happened in Florida, and then within a week we see a little boy being dragged underwater by... I don't know about the rest of you, but it just rips my heart. It's painful when we see the hurting people, when we see people on the street, women and children that are hurting all over the world. You know, the Bible says that we were created in His likeness, in His own image, in Genesis chapter 1. I love this because it's like we have the DNA of God inside of us. The possibilities are humongous if we allow Him to work in our hearts. And although this image, this likeness of God has been tarnished often, God our Father remains the same towards His children. His purpose is the same for us, is to give us His heart and His compassion and His love for a broken world. So we have the ability in Christ to reflect His character in our love, patience, forgiveness, kindness, and faithfulness. The character of God. What a privilege. A.W. Tozer writes, "In the deep recesses of man's soul lies an overwhelming yearning toward the Creator. This is a common thread through all humanity, created in the image of God." And he continues and he says, "Unless and until that desire is fully met, the human soul remains restless, constantly striving for that which is impossible, unattainable on her own. Nothing else can extinguish that burning thirst in our hearts." Augustine writes, "God created us for Himself, and our hearts are restless until they learn to rest in Him and Him alone." Resting in God, learning to come home in that place under the shadow of His love and His kindness, and spending time alone with Him. What a place. What a place. I was so moved this morning in the prayer room to see those that are there and those that are here, and just entering into the presence of God and allowing Him to speak and to bring us to a place where we can hear, where we can see Him face to face. What a beautiful place. Resting in His embrace. Just like the prodigal son that had lost everything in one moment. One moment he was restored to the fullness of life. How can we comprehend this? How can we not want to come and be there and to know Him and to allow him to speak and to bring us. Jesus said, I love these words. Listen to this. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Isn't that awesome? I only do what I see my Father doing. And then he goes on and he says, my Father is at work and I'm at work too. And then we read in Scripture that Jesus spent the night in prayer to his Father, the communion with his Father, to hear the Father. And then you follow the footstep of Jesus down into the valley of the broken and the hurting, as you said, Pastor John, and then the rest is history. We begin to see the power of God's love for the broken and the hurting. That's where we're called. That's where the Father wants each and every one of us to go, in the footstep of his Son, Jesus. And in that oneness with God, the total oneness, the total surrender, the total embrace of God, our hearts are open to be obedient. Because otherwise, we just do good things for God and we keep busy doing all kinds of things and it sounds good and it looks good to the world, but there's no fruit there. And that's for that reason that when I was asked to speak at the coffee house, I started by the story of the Good Samaritan. And I just paraphrased it because we were limited in time. And so I used the story of the Good Samaritan. And I told the two men on the side of the road, one was bleeding and the other one came to rescue the one that was bleeding. And I said, don't be fooled, because the Good Samaritan is Jesus. It's not me, it's not Hope, it's not a ministry of Jericho Road, it's God Himself. But He uses us, He brings us among the broken. Prophet Isaiah speaks for God in chapter 66, verse 5. Before I go there, let me show you the heart of God, who God is. I spoke about the coffee house, the God who revealed Himself and His love at City Hall of Ottawa. I think it was probably 4 years ago. We were getting ready to go to Africa on a mission. I love the way God works and He pre-plans. And you know, in Joshua, it says He goes before you and He prepares and He does and He connects. And so, coffee house in Ottawa, those of you, you come and you know, usually are the poor who come. People are either on welfare, people are looking for a safe place, the woman and the children. And so, that particular night, the co-founder was there with me. And he's from Africa, so he's black, so... So there's a man who walks in, he's black, and so the two black men start talking together. And Vedas, the co-founder with me, said, oh, where are you from? And he said, from Uganda. Oh, he said, we're leaving in 2 weeks, we're going to Uganda. And he said, so what do you do there? Well, we have orphanage, we have school and feeding program. So he began to explain to. So the man said to him, when you get to Uganda, send me an email. And I will give you the address for my business, and I'd like to give some gifts for the children. So, well, I could tell you stories that I've heard at the coffee house, and they were only good stories. People with big hearts, and then, you know, they promise you the moon, but yeah, sometimes their mind lives somewhere else, the reality. So we said, well, who knows, you know, so... Here we are on the plane going to Uganda, and I forget where we were. Anyways, the second leg of our trip, I'm sitting between two African ladies. This little white guy sitting between two black ladies, and one of them said to me, "So, hey, where are you going? And I said, well, we're going to Uganda. Oh, so what are you going to do there? Okay, Lord, thank you. You open up the door. So I began to tell her what we do in Uganda. So she introduced herself and she said, I'm the chief editor of the national newspaper. I would like to do a report on you guys. Can I come when you do your feeding program? Sure. She gives me her card, her phone number. And so we get to Africa, and so we began, at the beginning of the week, we began to plan for the feeding program, which we do in a church. And usually there's 400 or 500 people who come, and they're widows and orphans and Muslim ladies. And I mean, you get a cross-section of people that are really hurting and they're hungry, and we feed them. And we preach the gospel. And so we're getting ready to do this. And we thought, oh, let's just send a text an email to our friends in Ottawa. So we sent him an email, and he replied, give us an address. And he said, I want you to go there and pick up gifts for the children. So we were excited, but you thought, well, maybe a few little trucks or whatever, you know. We go to his place of business. We pick up 200 brand new backpack filled with school supply for the children. So, this is the middle of the story. So we get to the church, we pile this in front of the church, and now the reporter shows up. You see, God's got a way that it's way beyond our understanding. You know, and I know some of the testimony of the people who were touched, some of the elderly ladies and some of the Muslim ladies. God has opened up doors. We go and we do door-to-door evangelism in Africa when we go. We go and visit Muslim women, grandmothers. We bring them our Bible. We ask them if we could pray with them. And we pray with them, the family all together, the grandmother and the children. Because you see, often the parents die of AIDS. And the grandmother in her late 80s without no food, just a shack where they live. And they're raising up their children. And now Christians come from another country and walk into their home with food. And we asked them if we could pray. I've got pictures of that. Women start to weep and to cry. And some of the young women that we picked up when they were 12 and 10 years old and 8 years old, that living on the streets of Uganda and now are living in a beautiful home, and they're now 16 and 17. They're the evangelists. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, we just got off the plane and it's mid-afternoon and we get into the... we call it orphanage for us to understand what that looks like. They say, no, we're no longer orphans. Don't call this an orphanage. We're no longer orphans. Because they have parents now. They have house parents and so on. And so we came and Catherine is now 18, 19 years old, I believe. Catherine is a young woman that we picked up from the street when she was 12 years old. We found, that was our second trip to Uganda, we found 7 orphans living together. The young man, Peter, was 17 years old, and he was a slow learner. So it's a good place to be a slow learner, you know, because God uses, blessed are the poor. So he saw the 6 orphans living in the field everywhere from the age of 3 years old to 12. Catherine was 12. And he decided to take them in with no food and just a little shack with banana leaves for the roof and I mean straw walls. I mean, it was incredible. So Peter became the father. Catherine was 12 years old. She became the mother to the other 5. But they were all orphans, every one of them. So I remember Vedasta to me, I've heard of these 7 orphans living together, so we should do something special. So I said, well, why don't we go and buy food? And so we went and bought a bunch of food and we came to where they live. For the first time, my eyes saw brokenness like I had never experienced before. And so we're delivering the food, and of course we're excited. I think your daughter was with us. So we're delivering the food, and God spoke to me. Here's what God said to me. So now you're going to go back home and you're going to tell your friend about this good thing that you're doing. You're buying food and you're delivering food to seven orphans. And you're going to feel good about yourself. You know, when God puts His finger on your heart, you know that there's more. I said, God, what do we do? And it was at that place that the ministry of A Cup for Africa was born. Because God said, open up a real home. Take these orphans, bring them into a real home. And so Vidas and I, we asked the ladies who lived there to find a small house, and they did, and we give them money. They went downtown and they bought the furniture, moved them in, and seven orphans now had a home and food. And so we left money behind so that somebody would buy them food on a regular basis, and seven orphans became a bigger house for 10 within months. And then the following year when we went back, we found a house where now we have 23 children that are living there. This is the story of God, of who God is. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Oh, I pray that God will give us eyes to see what the Father is doing in the earth, you know, among the broken and the hurting. Let me tell you another story from Africa. God has blessed us tremendously. He connected us with some of the leaders of the country. It is unexplainable, except God doing this. Our first trip we landed in Rwanda. We made the front page of all the newspaper, the national, the local newspaper. We made the front page. How do you get there? I don't know. But God does that for His purpose. And we began to see the brokenness and the needs of people. We got to know, in Uganda, we got to know a businessman, a very wealthy businessman, who is part of the... He lives in Uganda, but he has businesses all over Africa. And he also part of the parliament in the Congo. And so 2 years ago, he invited us into his home. Well, into his home. Wherever he goes, he's got his own army and his soldiers. And so he had some of the leaders of the country in his home the night that we went for a meal. We were, I forget now, 6, 7 of us. And so we had a beautiful meal and met his wife and his children and had a beautiful meal with him. And it was really, really awesome. And so before we left, this little short lady that was with us from Gatineau, she said, sir, the owner of the house, would you be okay if we pray with you? I mean, we had no clue where this man was. We didn't think he was a believer. We didn't know. And so this little lady said, would you be okay if we pray with you? And he said, sure. And so she had words of prophecy for the man. But you know, even if you're part of a prayer team, sometimes it goes right up your head and you forget the words. Because it was not for me, it was for this man. And so we prayed with the man, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful night. So we went back to our room, and I said to the team, I said, why don't we invite him and his sergeant in the army to come for a meal? We'll ask where we live if they want to do a special meal, and we'll just, him and his wife and the sergeant, and just as a thank you to bless us so much. And so they come without his wife, but he's with the sergeant, he's the top in the army, the Ugandan army. So before we just sit at the table before we start eating, he said, I want to talk to this little lady. I want to talk to her alone. So he said, no, not here. Let's go someplace. So they went out of the room. They were gone 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. This guy is a 6'6" giant of a man. I mean, he's gentle, a loving man, a caring guy. He comes into the room with a smile on his face and he said, just give my life to Christ. That simple. The guy that came with him, the top in the army, the Ugandan army, said, I want the same. So they go out and that's who God is. Amen. You know, the faithful and loving God. Unless we choose to spend time with Him, we remain restless. We wrestle with life and with issues and with relationship and with the call of God, and we wrestle with all those things. Only in the presence of God, just like Jesus. You know, and in the book of Isaiah, God speaks to us and He says, chapter 66, verse 4, for when I call, no one answers. And too often, this is the way we are in the church. Even in the church, too often God calls, we go out of the church and we get busy and we forget the call of God to be obedient, to hear the word that He's speaking in the broken world. And then He says, when I spoke, no one listened, and they did evil in my sight, and choose what displeased me. We can be very selective with the words that we hear when God speaks. We can be more selective when God uses men and women to speak for Him. We're more selective and we're less to obey because they won't know the difference. But God knows. God knows when He speaks. The only thing that's pleasing to Him is that we obey. That's all. Nothing else matters. Whether it's City Hall, or whether it's in Africa, or whether it's on the streets of Ottawa. Who cares about the poor today? Who cares about the broken? You know, when the city leaders say, we've tried all kinds of things, nothing works. Doesn't work well. We're now prepared to look at faith. Because we hear stories. We hear stories of what God is doing. Unless we choose to spend time with Him, to be in that place alone, unless we allow His fatherhood, His compassion, His love to become mine, unless I come to that place that I want this more than anything. Love the song that you sang this morning, Speak Lord. Spoke about that last week at the coffee house, Samuel, learning the voice of God. Speak Lord, what a place. What a place to be. What a place to hear. Lord, speak. Because I want to hear. I want to listen for Your voice so that I can be obedient. So that I can become Your instrument in a broken world. I'm going to close with two short scriptures in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 15. In my Bible, it's called the Friends of God. What a place to be, eh? To be called friends of God. But that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Listen to what God says. He said, no longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. We often choose to live there. We don't really know what God is doing on the earth. We don't really know what my call is. I'm waiting for my call. I no longer call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. So what I meant to say is that to be a servant of God is not enough. He said, but I have called you friends. Friends. I've got friends, they know everything about my life. I've got a friend that became my friend just before Jericho Road, and he walked with me all those years, and he would call at always a good time to pray with me. He's a real estate agent, but God is using him to minister to others. I don't know of any other man who makes money and lots of money, but so generous with his money, but yet he's so generous with his time to love the poor and the broken. I've got another friend that walked with me for years and years and years. He's a vice president of a large corporation downtown Ottawa. That means nothing really, but he's a child of God. And you know, when he walks on the street and he sees a beggar, sometimes he'll sit there or get on his knees and he'll begin to talk with them and find out where they're at and let them know that they're loved by God. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father. Listen to this. All things that I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you. It's good to spend time in the Word, because God speaks. Jesus will bring us into the same place that He did, where He went. Place of brokenness. And the last scripture is the Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Wow. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes that's all, if we're not careful, that's all we learn to say, Lord, Lord, don't you know? Don't you know, Lord? But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The only way we will know the will of God the Father, the God to use His Son Jesus to reveal the love of the Father, the true love of the Father, spending time with Him, to get to know Him, to allow Him to speak. That's what God wants for all of us, each and every one of us. God wants to use us. There's a hurting world. There's a broken world out there. I'm looking forward. September, we're going back to Africa. And sometimes I wrestle with going to Africa, you know, and you know, it's not always a pleasant trip, 24 hours on the plane, and you know, and you know, like there's all kinds of obstacle. But there's not one time, one trip to Uganda without just sitting in the seat, and then you began to talk, and God began to open up new doors. Let me tell you one more story. A year ago, last year, my son invited me to go and spend my three boys and a girl. They were all in Florida, so they invited me to go and spend some time with them. So I'm on my way back, and I've got a book. I like to read, or always have something, and I leave it open. I make it visible, and so the title of the book that I'm reading is The Forgotten God. It's quite a title for a book. And so the book is there, and this lady, well-dressed, walks in, and she sits beside me. Said hi, and she looked shy, and fine. I always look for the opportunity, the door that God opens, okay? So I said, okay, God, I'm willing. So all of a sudden she said, I can't help but look at the title of your book. This is a very strange title. What does it mean? So I began to explain to her. It's, you know, we've forgotten the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, that's the forgotten God. Often there's many churches that do all kinds of good things and we preach all kinds of message, but the Spirit of God is not there. Oh, she said, oh, are you a believer? And I said, yes, I am. So she said, so am I. So I said, so where are you going? She said, well, I'm on my way to Ottawa, and I'm going to be preaching at a conference. I said, wow. So that was so. So I said, well, what church are you going to be preaching at? And no, she began to describe the church, and I said, well, I can tell you where you're going. I know the church. And I was right on. I knew where she was going because I know the people. I've worked with them, and they're so passionate about God, but I'm not sure where they are with the Holy Spirit. And so I knew that God was planting seeds. Not me, but God was planting seeds. And so we never know. You know, God never missed an opportunity to use us. And so let me close in prayer that God will bring us to a place to be able to say, just like Jesus, I only do what I see my Father doing. And so, Father, I pray, bring us to that place of willingness, of surrender, to allow you to speak. But Lord, that deep down in my heart, even before you speak, that I would be willing to whatever speak, that I may hear, but also that I may obey. Give me eyes to see the broken and the hurting with your eyes, with your heart of compassion, with your love, Father, the love that so many long for in the broken world, broken relationship, broken from addiction and from life storms. And Father, we invite you this morning to come and speak, because we are your children and we want nothing more than to be obedient and to know you passionately, Lord God, that we would be like the prodigal coming home and the willingness to say, Father, whatever it takes to receive your love, I want to be there. So, Father, that you may be glorified in the earth, Lord God, because that's what you want, the earth, to the broken, to see your glory. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.